Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott continue their quest for an exceptional Napa Valley Bordeaux-style blend, this time from Trefethen Family Vineyards and their Eshkol. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
You know, I'm feeling all mixed up, like I'm a blend of grape varietals. We're continuing our journey.
I'm not talking, because I can't, that was horrible.
That was awful.
No.
Awesome. Offsome? Offsfulsome? Awfulsome.
That was, yes. It was Fozzie Bear bad, but on tonight's show, we are continuing, and we're going to take a pause on this, but continuing our California Bordeaux blend wines. Napa specific.
It's a series.
Not Paso Robles, not Livermore Valley, not anything made by Jack's. No. Real wineries.
They're so bougie.
Well, real wineries.
So bougie.
Except for Rodney Strong, that was Sonoma. Other than that.
Oh.
And so Ferrari Carano, that was Sonoma.
Okay, so it's not all Napa then, is what you're saying.
Great wineries that do a red blend in Napa or Sonoma. How's that? There we go. Tonight, we are stretching that by saying great wineries.
We've had good success with this winery.
I have not, but this winery.
The last bottle was.
This winery is well known. It's well known. It's well established. It is respected by some people. I'm the only one that doesn't respect it. Now, I've been to this winery. I did not have a great experience with this winery because wine wasn't very good. But that doesn't mean that it isn't good now, right? Now, so, every other time I'd had it before then, it wasn't very good. And every time I've had it since then, it's been a lackluster experience. But that's forgetting all that. I didn't have Dragon's Tooth, and it doubled in price. Because they have something called Eshkol, and they are Trefethen Family Vineyards in Napa Valley. I've been there. It's nice. But the Eshkol is basically their cheapest wine that they make. Hmm. It really is. It comes in at $24, which is really on the cheap side for the wines that we've been dealing with. Hands of Time was $32, and everything else is $40 or above. This wine is inexpensive. It's a blend of 53% Merlot, 31% Cabernet, 14% Malbec, 1% Petit Verdot, and 1% Cab Franc. So it is a true Bordeaux-style blend.
Yep.
And this wine, I think that they've made it in multiple vintages. The only two of those that I see on wine.com are 19 and 20. And this is from their, which vineyard? This is actually sourced from their estate and all from their main ranch vineyard in Oak Knoll. So this isn't pulled from all sorts of parts over Napa Valley or California. No. One vineyard in Oak Knoll in Napa. So I like that.
Impressive chops.
Well, if anything, these are their younger grapes probably, you know, that might go into Dragon's Tooth or something like that, which is $60-$70. But this is still estate grown from Napa Valley, from a single vineyard essentially. And it's under $30. That's rare. That really is rare.
Sourced entirely from their main ranch vineyard, which is, like I said, is from Oak Knoll Valley.
So that really...
Oak Knoll District, excuse me.
Except, ignoring the fact that there are birds and owls and all sorts of shit on the label, in a classy way, it's a nice looking label, but ignoring all that, this has the potential to be a really good value. We will see once we taste it, but on the surface... This is a really good value. Wouldn't you agree, Scott?
One, you're from a premium district, single vineyard, interesting blend, should be right up our alley. I'm excited about it. And this
It's truly.
We had one similar price point.
Yeah.
Wasn't the Rodney Strong a similar price point?
No, Rodney Strong's double this.
Was double this. So in our little Bordeaux
Plus.
Series.
The Hands of Time is the closest one to this.
But that's another 10 bucks.
$8, $10. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that was, but, and also the Hands of Time is primarily a Cabernet. It's 85% Cabernet. This is more of a Merlot blend. Saint-Emilion. Think Saint-Emilion, but. Not really too hard because it's probably not going to taste like Sam Millie, but still. Scott also, we're on tonight's potpourri. We're going to talk about Scott's, his activities this evening, which are very, very interesting.
Oh.
And there's a couple special people, a special guests on that want to talk to him about his experiences. Scott is a wine presenter. As he, you know, and Scott also, folks, just to point this out, Scott is a cynical bastard. Recently, and Scott has no self-esteem, right? Recently, there was an email sent to Scott that asked him to be a speaker at the Helzberg Wine and Food Festival in Helzberg, California. Obviously, that email was bogus, but Scott initially thought it was bogus because he thought no one would ever want him to speak at a major convention like that. And I think that's sad.
You missed the point. Nobody would ever want me to speak.
What? Well, that's true, ever, or attend. But, you know, Scott thought that it would be ludicrous that someone would ever want him to be there. And I think that Scott needs good thoughts from people, because he obviously is a sad person, sad clown, really. So send him your thoughts. Send him some emails. You know what would pick him up? Drawings that you would do. I know I'm going to make Scott some drawings and send them to Scott.
Yeah, well,
so he feels better about it. Hopefully he looks at the drawings in a public place. That would be great. That would make him even feel better.
Then you would get arrested.
No, well, Scott would be arrested, not me, because you don't put your name on it. Obviously, though, folks, Scott wants your artwork. Please send it to him so it'll brighten his day.
Side clown face.
I know. This was and it was from a purported to be from Zap, the Zinfandel advocates and producers, whatever. Jenna Tolls.
She's You're actually going on record for your fraudulent activity.
Well, I think I've already acknowledged that it was actually me. But I was trying to brighten your day and raise your spirits and get you to call that Zinfandel producer company and ask for genitals. But you didn't.
Didn't work.
No, you're too smart for that.
Well, you on the first email, you didn't pluralize the last name.
Well, her name is Tolls. It's not Jenna Toll.
There was an S on there. On the first one.
Ridiculous. Erroneous. She's a professional.
Inconsistent.
I even, folks, when Scott was still a little hedging, I lined up
this
someone he doesn't know to call him as Jenna Tolls.
This is how.
And she has a California phone number. So let's
it's just
say,
fantastic.
I do whatever it takes.
It's fantastic. Except it didn't work.
That will work next time.
No. Yeah. 4 years ago, you got me on the Christina Turley on April Fool's Day.
This was on April Fool's
Day. This was April 2nd, sir.
Yeah, I know. Well, no, I had sent it to you before then. I didn't care.
Oh, the email I never got.
It's in your junk folder. You should look it up. It's a good one.
I wonder why it was in the junk folder.
Well, it's from Jenna Tolls. That's probably why.
Or that my Apple Mail recognized it was a fake email address.
It wasn't a fake. It's a real email address. I set up an email account.
By a fake email company.
No, that's a real email company. It's not a ghosted one. Proton, whatever it is an actual. I never heard of it, but it is an actual email thing.
Mm-hmm. For said well, fake email account.
I assume somebody uses that. I've never seen it before, but you know. I mean, yeah, whatever. They had the least security checks in order to do it, but still.
That's
real email address.
Point.
No, you know, whatever. Anyway, folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So,
by the way,
yes,
pop on the Trefethen website and look at the Eshkol, which is how it's pronounced.
Yes, it says in the back.
That's a really interesting little, the story behind the label.
Why don't you tell the story behind the label?
It's got this interesting little diorama on the label, an owl peering through a microscope. With a book.
Yeah. And very Harry Potter-esque.
There are these different things, but it also tells the story of the vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
They use natural animal critters. They populate their vineyard with Mexican free-tailed bats for pest control.
Well, also, Eshkol was the original name of the vineyard in the estate.
That's interesting.
That's what it was called. They have a picture of the estate entryway on their website, and it has the Eshkol name over, like, the gate. It kind of looks like a southern plantation. Let's ignore that. It was in California. But other than that, it, you know, I'm sure it was good.
They populate the vineyard with parasitoid wasps
mm-hmm.
to control mealybugs. No, it's just kind of cool. And mm-hmm. what they've done is some of the different controls and some of the different natural occurring things, like the Mayacamas Mountains, they're all represented in this wine image. And there's a nice key that shows you why they've chosen to put the image on the label that they have. And it's kind of some cool, would you call it Art Deco-ish artwork, maybe? Kind of, sort of.
Okay. No, I would not.
Doesn't it remind you of the coloring books you use when you need to calm down, wine guy?
No, they don't.
I'll have to buy you another coloring book then. Have you filled those pages yet?
Yes, I did. Would you like to see what I've colored?
Yeah, I'll bet you want to see.
I'll show you. Because I know my name is Simon, and I like to do drawings, and I'll show you one. Folks, remember, email Scott your art. He wants to see it and look at it in public places. It's not going to be much different than his normal day. So there are no reviews for this wine, unfortunately. Although the 19 did get a review. It did. Yes, it did. Hi, Scott. This is Wilfred Wong. I reviewed the 19 Eshkol Red. Scott, do you know that?
Eshkol.
Now, it had more Cabernet in it, so it tastes completely different. You know, they change it from year to year.
That's interesting, Wilfred.
I know. It's like the FBI Most Wanted list. Well, it changes from year to year.
Except you. You're just always included in it.
I know. I've never been good enough to be on the most wanted list. I'm the least wanted list.
Your least wanted.
Still dead or alive, but it's least wanted. They don't really want me to be caught. So, you know.
I just think you're just not wanted.
I'm pathetic, is the term. Anyway, commentary. The 19, or whatever, Eshkol Red is ripe, smooth, and pleasing on the palate. Just like me. Tasting notes. This wine exhibits aromas and flavors of candy, black fruit, dried leaves, and a hint of oak. Try it with grilled hamburgers. Yes. I really like that. I said hamburgers.
Wilfred, doesn't this wine deserve more than a hamburger?
No.
Can't you give it a Wagyu beef burger?
No. That was just basic chuck.
A short rib, prime rib blend burger?
No. Cheeseburger from McDonald's.
In Paradise?
Yes. It's been there for a while where the bun kind of collapsed on top. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
So, in the glass. It looks the part.
It does.
Maybe a slight watery edge. But
slight.
It's beautiful. We're in the big Bordeaux Grand Cru glasses.
Which is probably overkill, but we've done it, all the other ones in these. So.
Well, and I think the Merlot-driven nature of the wine deserves a larger profile glass.
Perhaps.
Really slow to develop legs. Kind of pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting, they form these really small, slow to develop legs. So it's almost like rounded off teeth from a Where the Wild Things Roam drawing. It's kind of cool, actually.
You're a lyrical master over there. Jesus. Well, it's like listening to Walt Whitman.
Blah, blah, blah,
if you sniffed glue.
Well, I think he did, actually. Didn't he reportedly sniff airplane glue?
I don't know.
He was, he liked his spirits.
Scott, do you like the Hall of Fame wines now?
Oh, that's that picture of me. I love that picture.
The Mississippi Man picture, yes. Scott shaved his head during COVID, except for a strip on the top.
Except like, when, no, the batteries
like
ran out of
just
my...
like Davy Crockett.
No, the batteries ran out of my shaver.
Shaver? Is that what that was?
It was. It was a beard shaver that I shaved my head with.
It looked great.
Wife was not happy.
No. Didn't make you uglier.
She cried.
Did she? Because you were so ugly?
She's like, what did you do? She's in the garage when I'm starting to do it. We've had this on the show before.
I know. It never gets old, though.
She's like, what are you doing? I'm shaving my head. She's like, no, really, what are you doing? Oh, no, I'm connecting the razor. I'm shaving my head. I'm going to put this down on the floor so I can collect the hair. She's like, oh, okay, honey. All right, honey.
And she didn't think you were serious. And
then I came in the house. I'm like...
And you look like a fucking idiot.
Before I could get it out of my mouth, how's it look? The look on her face is appalling. She just ran away. Crying.
You look like you had a pork chop on the top of your head.
Or like I should have had a pork chop on my head so some dog would come and play with it.
And you cut the one part of your hair that actually existed. Then your thinning part was just kind of
this was
straggling.
Actually pre-thinning thinning. The thinning is... The thinning accelerated after that.
Your head looked like a matchstick. So... On the nose.
Picture me.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
Assuming there ever was one, that one is.
There's lots
it.
Of good pictures.
Yes, one is really dark in the room.
There's the mustache picture.
That's
you
the fake
that picture.
Mustache, though.
It's a real mustache, sir. Oh, man.
Look like a vampire.
Maybe I am a vampire.
Maybe you are. You do suck. Ha
ha ha. Ha ha ha. Your blood.
No. All right. On the nose.
Blood.
Pop a mint and menthol. A little maraschino cherry.
Yeah, like in the background.
Yeah.
With some, like, cassis.
Laundry detergent.
No.
A little bit of laundry detergent.
No.
It's clean, anyway.
No, that's that mint
Tide.
Menthol thing. Stop
Tide
it.
Pod nose.
Stop it. You're on a pod nose.
Nice little Tide Pod nose. Maybe a little sweet tart. It's not one of the better noses we've had recently.
It's a fine nose. It's just really subdued. It's not. There's nothing unappealing about the nose. There's nothing wrong with the nose. It's just really soft and subtle.
And slightly tart smelling with the maraschino cherry, sweet tarts, and Tide
Pods. No, no. It's just subtle.
Yeah, that's,
there's no Tide.
That's subtle, yeah, yeah.
There's no Tide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Put a big red nose on, you'd be very subtle. Yeah, no one would ever notice that.
Have you been snorting white decorative stone dust again?
Maybe I have. What's your problem?
Why are you in the landscaping again, Rob? I gotta get a fix.
I mean, it has a chalky element to it, but it is a little bit off kilter. I think you should be honest and acknowledge that.
Yes, snorting white architectural stone dust is chalky and a little bit out of kilter. Oh, this nose is fine, folks. Exaggerating. He has some Trefethen bias going on. There's nothing wrong with his nose. It's subtle. It's soft.
Well, on the palate, it's a little leaner than some of the other offerings we've had, but it's cheaper and it's predominantly Merlot.
You know it's Merlot.
You do. The oak is a little more prominent on the finish.
Yep.
Which it gets a little bit woody.
Well, I just think this probably needs some time.
It wouldn't hurt a little bit just to soften that finish just a little bit because there's the oak and then there's a little bit of acidity that comes in.
You know what's interesting about this for me? The first pull. What a huge expanse of mid palate.
Well, it's actually it has some length to it all over. I like the fact that up front, the dried leaves often are a negative thing, but here I think it actually works. It has a woodsiness to it,
yes,
that I like,
and it's almost similar to. It's not a Pinot profile,
no,
but
no,
it
no.
has that perspective about it.
Yes, I like that.
Woodsiness about it.
Yes.
It's something you would have an appearance of in a Pinot in a different manner. This isn't forest floor. This isn't barnyard. But in a similar way, the way those, that leafy, woodsy appearance is.
Dry,
right away,
grassy meadow.
Right away.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. But the again, the expansive mid palate where that Merlot really shines. And it's like this mid palate, it just grows. It feels like it's, you know, you front palate, mid palate, finish. It progresses from the front of your mouth to the back, except this one, this mid palate, it expands to the sides of your mouth. I really love the mouthfeel of that. That dynamicism of the mid palate.
The
I'm
what?
Really enjoy dynamicism.
That is a swank ass word. Good job.
Hey,
can I drink what's in your glass? Because I'm not tasting all that. In this.
Well, you know, you just gotta go.
I don't know. What did you have? Do you have any PCP in your glass? Because I mean, I put some, but I didn't know that. I thought it was in mine. Well. But you know, yeah. This has a very well. First of all, let me explain. Okay, this wine, they use the parasitic insects. They try to balance off. They try not to use pesticides, and they try to be as organic as possible. There's another winery that does that, and that is Behringer. And there's other ones besides that, but Behringer is well known for doing that.
There's plenty that do it.
Oh, Benzinger. Sorry, not Behringer. Benzinger. Behringer, they'll put anything in the glass. They'll put a dead hobo in there. They don't care. But Benzinger. Now, with Benzinger, this wine reminds me of that a little bit too. They do have a certain sense of leanness to them. All right. That is not for everybody. Now, Benzinger has leanness. And then the last time we had it, it had also acidity slapped over. This has a little bit of acidity as well, but not quite Benzinger level. To the point where Benzinger turns into a glass of sick. You don't want that. It's too lean. It's too green. This wine is straddling that line a little bit. For some people, I let you do your whatever thing. For some people, it might cross that line. For others, it won't. It depends on what you normally drink. People that drink Chianti. If you drink Italian wines, you're going to like a little bit of that leanness because it reminds you of a little, in the acidity also. Those two things kind of play off each other and remind you of a little bit of a Sangiovese. Not necessarily a flavor profile, but the leanness a little bit, the way it works with the acidity. If you like certain Bordeaux, this tastes like a lower end, but quality made Bordeaux, Merlot dominated. It tastes that way. But if you like a Paso Robles Cabernet, if you like a nice fruity Napa Valley Cabernet or Sonoma Cabernet for that matter, something with big fruits, cassis, rich, this isn't something that you're going to really get down with because it doesn't do that. It doesn't go that road. It goes a little bit different road. And that's the thing about Trefethen. And probably why in the past I didn't really like them that much. It's because they don't necessarily go that big blown road. They go more this road, and that's fine. You can
take the path less traveled, sir.
Well,
take the path less traveled, sir.
It's either or. Sometimes it belongs, sometimes it doesn't. If it's their Napa Cab, it doesn't belong.
Right.
I haven't had their Napa Cab recently, but the Napa Cab, when I had it before, did go down this line a little bit and made it a little bit too weedy, a little bit too lean. But this wine, that's okay with.
And I think, so why I push back on the lean, this reminds me of a Bordeaux blend.
But they can be lean.
Right, but not in a way that the wine's too lean. It's just medium body, that's all. That's all that it is.
Lean is a descriptor, and most of it is dealing with the acidity on the finish because it keeps it tight. That might lessen with time, but the wine itself in its flavors isn't necessarily the most prolific thing. It just isn't. We're talking about woodsy flavors. We're talking about dried leaves. We're not talking about cassis. We're not talking about blueberry. We're not talking about red, black, or blue, or pink currants. We're not.
Well,
there is some cherry there. There are some things like that there.
Yeah, I think you've got some savory fruit there.
But it isn't really a major component of
it. It's not the star of the show. This is about Merlot, and there's a couple different earthiness, minerality things going on. There's a touch of almost like pencil lead in that mid palate, something along those lines, mm-hmm. with that earthy dried leaves thing you talked about more towards the front. But
this is a tweed hat wearer kind of wine.
Fair. You're thinking,
it is.
You're thinking, you know, more of a.
Someone with CMS lipstick on their teeth wouldn't really want this wine, is what I'm saying.
Oh, Lord.
I'm just saying.
Lord.
You drive a Volvo. You know, Lord. Because of you like the safety, you really researched it, and you know that it's safe and it will break down, so you won't get hurt because it'll be on the side of the road, but it's whatever. That kind of thing.
Lord.
You might drive a diesel. Lord. Not a truck, mind you. That's more bonanza. But, you know, a Prius. You drive a Prius. Not a Tesla, though. Mm-mm. No. A Prius, a hybrid. Not the new ones, either. Those are actually decent looking. I'm talking about the older generations. You drive that. Not because you have to. It's because you want to. A Civic hybrid, I think, is what you drive. This is the truth.
Mm.
Hands of Time, you're driving a Mustang GT.
No.
Well, I think so.
Easy.
That's a Mustang GT kind of wine.
No, I think this is...
I can say that. I have a Mustang GT.
What car would I compare this to? Not a...
A Prius.
No.
Makes sense.
No.
No, that's not fair, is it? Citroen. A Renault. It's a French car, probably. I've driven Citroens. Yeah, they're not that great.
Let me take a sip. I think you're...
You've never driven a Citroen, have you? I've never driven a Renault, but...
Drank Citroen.
Well, okay. A Peugeot, maybe?
No, I'll tell you what this... I'll tell you what car this would be.
What?
Remember when Volkswagen put turbos and everything, and you look like you had some little...
You still do. Which point?
You know, rabbit or a Golf or just some...
Oh, you
little...
mean an old Golf? That's not a nice thing.
Those things would fly if you had the turbo, dude. But just
in the
that
80s?
Line, it's something that looks like... It's just this compact car, but really it isn't. Really it has...
You mean like an Omni GLH. That's actually a car like that. The Volkswagens never made something that was fast like that. They have recently, but not back in the day.
They made some turbos back in the day.
They never made it to the sky. I know a lot more about cars than you do.
Oh, easy now.
I do. That's a fact.
My buddy had one.
Okay, I'm sure he did. Fine. I'm sure he did in your imagination, but that's okay.
I drove it.
Okay. Okay. Me? Because I've had two Volkswagens, and they both had turbos, yeah.
These were in eras where you weren't old enough to drive, sir.
Okay, well, those... In the 90s? No, they didn't really use turbos, no. They ever had a turbo? That would be a mistake. And the old Rabbits and the old GTIs weren't turbocharged. They were naturally aspirated. That's okay, though. Thank you for playing.
No, I'm playing all right.
Okay, you go ahead and do that. You're mistaking that for the
easy.
The Dodge. Chrysler used to do turbos a lot. And that was really cool. They'd blow up, but, you know, hey, whatever. The Daytona. Dodge Daytona. This is a Dodge Daytona. It'd be awesome. 2.2 liter K-car turbo. Awesome. Buick Grand National. Be awesome. Awesome.
Jettas had turbos, sir. That's not the...
It's more of recent Jettas, dude, yeah. They have 1.4 liter turbo. And they used to... Sometimes they have 2 liter if they're GLS. Or GLI.
GTIs.
GTIs. Recent GTIs, yes.
And the VW Quantum.
Quantum?
Mm-hmm.
Not available in the United States.
I had one.
So. When? You mean a Scirocco?
No, I had a it had the V5.
Quantum.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no such thing as a V5, Scott.
Yes, there's a 5-cylinder, sir.
It's an inline 5, you twit.
It was a 5-cylinder.
Yes, that's an inline 5. You can't have V of 5.
Regardless, it was a 5-cylinder. It was a five-cylinder, sir.
That's an inline five. Okay, yes. Okay. But that's not that old of a car.
Yes.
What year? Okay, there's a chance back in the 60s. Okay, you're very old. I'm sorry, folks. I was wrong. Scott is extremely old.
I had an 84 and 85. But the point here is, VW did have turbo, sir. I think the ride I was talking about was a GTI.
Those weren't turbocharged. And they weren't fast even then.
But that's the rabbit. It must have been the Jetta. I can see the car, but I can't get good pictures of these things. Okay.
That's very interesting. This wine, though, is one of those things. I think that there are people that will enjoy it. And it also would work well in different settings. If you had maybe upscale foods, pate, things that are a little bit more terrines, things that are a little bit more challenging food-wise, palate-wise, this wine is an interesting pairing with those. I think that one thing we're ignoring is it gives off a little bit of a minerality, too.
Yeah.
And I think that it would pair well with challenging food items.
Somebody didn't ignore it. I talked about the minerality. That's okay.
Scott, you make up shit as you go along. But it would do well with that. It wouldn't do well with casual dining fare. It wouldn't be what I would pair with a steak.
Mm-hmm.
It just wouldn't be. I certainly wouldn't pair it with a cheeseburger. That's not really what this is. That's a fruit-forward jammy wine or whatnot. That's what you do with that. You take a Zinfandel and you pair it with a cheeseburger. Not a good Zinfandel, but you don't pair this with a cheeseburger.
It's the kind of thing you would do with cheese and charcuterie, you know? Yeah. This is a classic wine and cheese wine.
No, a very, very great charcuterie board.
Maybe we need to keep
berries,
that in mind.
The whole...
When we talk about Merlots, that's a classic pairing for that we should recommend more often.
Well, it's only 53% Merlot, but still.
This comes across as more, you think?
It does, but perhaps the other ones just aren't particularly strong. You know, the cab is weak cab. The thing is, the one Wilford tried was predominantly Cabernet. It was 50% cab. So, you know, this also is 14% Malbec in California Malbec. We're not going to necessarily equate that with something that you take your underwear off and swing it over your head and throw it on stage for. I mean,
depends on how many bottles you have.
How many bottles of California Malbec do you have?
No, how many bottles of this do you have for the Malbec causing you to do that?
Fair enough. True. Yeah. So consumption. Yeah. Steve Gibson, 5-bottle night. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
that would take, he takes his underwear off anyway, though. That's funny. We have his sleeves from his old shirt hung up on the wall here because he ripped them off during the show.
Didn't you rip them off during the show?
No, that wasn't his shirt sleeves. No.
Yes.
Let's just let that be.
Let's just let that lie.
Let's move along.
Move along, sir.
No, I want to hear this story.
Move along. I really like the mouthfeel of this wine. For me, it's the star of the show. It's unique about it. And the length of the mid palate, it's almost out of context. The mid palate's so big in this wine, it's almost like causes you to think of the wine being out of balance. It's not, but it's so unusual in that. I'm trying to remember a wine that's had as big a mid palate as this.
Well, maybe it's not as big a mid palate, it's just a small front palate.
Maybe, but I think it also consumes some of the finish. That's just me.
It is.
It is what it is. I think the front palate is where it has that lean style you're talking about. I think the front palate is where it's
The front palate is. Then, austere is a better term than lean, probably, in this case. Austere is very fair to say. But the finish with the acidity, and also, because of the Merlot, there's astringency there. There's a lot of mouth-drying aspects to this wine, which... If you like Merlot, and if you're accustomed to drinking Merlot, not necessarily Blackstone Merlot, real Merlot, you know, it's something that you would actually say, I miss it. I like that. But not all people like that. I mean, that's just the case. I mean, to each their own, right? Some people don't like that. You know, if you're a strict cab drinker, you don't really like that much, right?
Each their own. Unless you're Rob, then you have to as he says and think as he does.
No, I'm not saying either way on that, because there are people that really are into that style of old school Merlot. Franzak, for instance, Scott. Franzak. There's a comparison of Franzak. This is very Franzak-esque.
What this Merlot, where it's different from the Franzak, is acidity. It doesn't have... No, for sure. It just doesn't have that pruny fruit thing going on, that plum
because it has the cab. What is that? That's Cab Franc, though. Is there Cab... look that up. Look up the blend on Franzaks. I mean, I know they vary, but the Cab is not 31%.
Not always. And I think particularly the more Merlot-driven you get, the more that pruny plum fruit profile comes through.
And you got to remember the terroir is a little bit different there too. But
100%.
But yeah, the Cab is definitely lower.
But other than that, yeah, it's Franzak. It's very similar.
Very similar.
Other than that, that fruit thing there, that difference there, it's very Franzak.
Now, that being said, the only problem with that is often for Franzak that gives you kind of the same pleasure, you're not paying $24 for it. You know, you're paying, let's just not talk about how much you're paying for it. You're paying less. You really are. But find one.
Yeah, Franzak, according to the Wikipedia, the AOC, grows almost 80% Merlot.
It's predominantly Merlot, but that doesn't mean the blend.
Franc is to almost 15%.
Yeah.
Cab, under 10%.
Well, your plumminess, that kind of stuff, you're coming through it back with your Cab Franc. So Cab Franc really is a non-factor in this blend. And you can tell.
You know what else I feel is a good descriptor of this wine?
What?
Not, and it's fine in the glass. I'm not using this word to describe how it looks in the glass. And it does look in the glass just fine. It
looks fine.
It's kind of a pretty wine. It's kind of a pretty wine. It's not anything you would describe as burly.
No, it's not.
But it's got these really nice, pretty components.
It goes...
kiss of cherry.
It's down the road of pretty. I know where you're coming from with there. I'll tell you what. If it had really good Cab Franc in there, as opposed to the Cabernet, I could say it'd be pretty. Pretty might have just maybe a floral element to it for me. It doesn't have that, but... I understand what you mean in the wine descriptors of pretty.
Yeah, it's just a generalization, but I think it would be even prettier after a couple more years.
It wouldn't hurt because I think that acidity would fix itself on the back end.
And for me, I think it might even change and give it a different kiss of the acidity. It might become something different as that finish changes.
Well, if it smooths out.
I like the acidity in this. I see the future of the acidity in this.
I think that it will be better in 2 years than it is today.
I wonder how long this could go. I wonder if this couldn't go 5 years. I would say probably.
5 years would be a lot, but you're not out much if you tried it in 5 years.
I would say probably. It definitely has a nice...
That's 2020.
Tannic backbone.
It does. It does. I mean, we've aged lesser things for longer.
Sometimes successfully.
Not successfully, but...
Sometimes.
You know, but...
I really like this.
All right.
Now,
we'll go back and forth. Let's talk about the things. Now, we each have to pick out three things.
Okay.
Reasons, not things. Reasons why we like it. And then two reasons why we don't, or we would understand if somebody else didn't. How's that sound?
I'll start with that one. I just think... for that California drinker of whatever it is, red blends, cabs, this just isn't going to be fruit forward enough for you. Because it's just not, it's not intended to be that.
It's niche. It really is. It's a niche market. It is.
It's not a, there's plenty of fruit there. It's just really subtle and it doesn't smack you right in the face. So if that's what you want, this isn't your wine.
No. No, no, no.
That's okay. That's what you like. It's okay.
And I would say this also on that. You have to say something else too, but we'll go back and forth.
Oh, yeah, back and forth.
It isn't necessarily something for the casual drinker. It kind of goes down the same line you're saying, But you have to have some experience outside this wine to understand and appreciate some of the nuance that they have imparted here and what they're trying to do with this wine.
Yeah.
You just don't understand it from drinking stuff in the grocery store. It's not no big deal. It's just you can't even understand it from drinking Napa Valley Merlots.
Yeah, well, I think the caveat I would give is if you're a Merlot drinker, I think you'd like this, even though you didn't necessarily know why you liked it.
But what Merlots are you drinking?
Yeah, I don't think it would. If you're drinking decent Merlots, I think you'd like this.
What if you drank Clos Pegase Merlot? That is a voluptuous.
Well, you wouldn't be drinking this because
same price.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a seductive mistress wearing a completely different outfit than this one.
I just think that if you drink decent Merlots to good Merlots, you're going to appreciate the astringency of this wine. That's why I agree with what you're saying. It's just I would give a caveat.
But you have to enjoy.
Merlot drinker, you'd like this.
You'd have to, well, you'd have
for,
to.
For different reasons.
European Merlots. French. You have to enjoy French wine.
Maybe.
And some Italian to get to that. Some things I like about the wine.
This might be a stepping stone to French wines for our listeners.
I honestly would start with France because you have the expectations of something a little bit different. This would, I would go start with France and come back to this. But some things that are nice about the wine. The fact that, quite frankly, at $23, it's completely different is a nice thing. And like I said, not everybody will like it, and I'm always fine with that because that's not the reason why you make art. Not to say that this is art, but in winemaking, they're not trying to make something that sells 50,000 cases here.
This is an artisanally made product. This is a really good job by Trefethen. Whether it's your thing or not, it doesn't matter.
This is made to a standard where they are caring and they want it to resemble their product. What they do. And this is way a lot of Trefethen's have a little bit of a wisp of this woodsiness, the leafiness. They all do have a little bit of wisp of that. And except for the Riesling. We've had the Riesling and it doesn't taste like that, but you know, that would be bad if it did. We don't really care for the Riesling very much, but it follows that lineage. Similar to Hands of Time is a beast. Hands of Time is a completely different wine than this. You know, it's just different. But this, it has winks and nuances to. And it also shows terroir. It's terroir driven.
Yeah, yeah.
You taste the meadow in which it was grown. These are all lovely things. If you want to experience, this is the one thing. I will say this. If you are trying to develop your palate and you want to drink a wine at a certain budget, under 50 or whatever, or something casual, that will teach you about terroir and teach you how oak and acidity work together in a certain way. This is an excellent wine to try.
Because it's naked.
Well, it is naked.
It's easy to find.
It's all terroir driven. There's a little bit of fruit, but most of it's the terroir.
And I think the other thing that's interesting about this is that dried leaves appears at a different place than that pencil lead minerality thing. And sometimes those things overlap, and where here you've got that on the front palate with the dried leaves, and then deeper into the mid palate you get that pencil lead, and it's easy to find, easy to experience, and for that same reason you're talking about is, again, I'm going to go back to it. This is a good way to transition into what French wine can be like. It's not exactly French wine, but because those two things are easy to find, and you should be able to find this, folks, by distributors. If you're in a larger city, or wine.com carries it, it's not in your grocery stores, but you should be able to find this.
Wine shops might carry it. I don't know.
I might be able to order it in for you.
I
would be interested to know if the Chicagoland market, Binney's, has this.
This is a wine I think that you should try because it gives you a different perspective on the way things might be made and taste. Whether you like it or not, that's up to you. But
let's get back to our little game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So reason one why I like this and others might like it, just the expansive mid palate. It just is screams of Merlot. I love it. And in that mid palate is where the astringency starts. It's where you know, towards the end of that mid palate, you get that expression of the pencil lead. It's the mid palate is just wonderful. It's a joy of a mouthfeel. It's not the biggest mouthfeel, but it's really, really pleasant. For me, that mouthfeel and expansive mid palate are the two co-stars of the show.
Mm, okay. Well, folks.
That was about three things there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. We're going to take a break.
You didn't do your three things.
I felt them, though. And we're going to be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, Scott is a, well, although he won't believe that Jenna Toles thinks he's worth, you know, bringing out to California and be a speaker, he does have gigs and he is a professional wine presenter.
False.
Now, there is another professional wine presenter that would like to interview you tonight, Scott.
Okay.
Hello. This is Tim Atkins. Oh, Scott. How are you tonight?
I'm not going to pay for your master class, James. That's the last time. No,
this is Tim Atkins.
You.
I don't have a master class.
Oh, Jesus.
I have OnlyFans.
I thought you were dead.
No, I'm alive, Scott. Very alive. Scott, you did a tasting tonight, didn't you? you were the host, weren't you?
Something like that.
Why don't you tell the audience where you were hosting?
It was at an assisted living facility. It's the facility where Grandpa John lived before he passed away.
Oh,
and
yes.
We're given back to the community.
Oh, yes. And you did a wine tasting with the elderly. Is that correct?
Some were octogenarians. Some were simply from the Senior Citizen Center. They opened it up to the community.
Oh, how many people came, Scott?
There weren't that many. 15 probably in total.
Oh. What did you taste at the... the wine show.
Three of my favorite bottles for introductory varietals.
White Zinfandel?
No, sir.
Oh, sorry.
Did the Kung Fu Girl Riesling.
Oh, how racially offensive you are.
There's nothing racially offensive.
It is very offensive, Scott. That's okay.
No,
go
sir.
Ahead. Yes, go
That's
ahead.
Incorrect.
Yes, go ahead.
Kendall Jackson's Vintner Reserve Chardonnay.
I suppose none of them had ever tried that before.
Some of them actually had.
Oh, had they? That's a shock.
Was it a drink wine?
Oh, yes.
And
mm.
CS Substance.
Oh, Cabernet?
The Columbia Valley Cabernet.
Oh. Was that
so
loved?
Budget? In general, it was equal. Some preferred the Riesling, some preferred the Chardonnay, and some wanted that red wine. The folks from the Senior Citizen Center were definitely red wine drinkers, and they might have had a bottle placed at their table.
You know, it's fantastic, Scott. The times,
your laugh?
I personally have spoken at many nursing homes, and I've done the same thing you did. How many room keys were passed you after the show? I know.
So inappropriate.
I've had three or four myself. It's quite fantastic. I have groupies.
Bet you do.
Yes. James, you are not in an assisted living, so quit passing me your key.
Oh, Lord.
No, Scott, this is Wilford. I had some questions on all that.
Did you?
So at the nursing home, like he said,
it's
did you never
not
answer?
A nursing home, Wilford.
Assisted living. Well, whatever. Did answer Tim's question. Did you get any room keys? Did you Do you have any groupies? That's what he wants to know. And I
made some new friends.
Really?
What happened? Were actually some experienced wine drinkers in the audience. Person who lived in San Francisco and had been to Napa many times. A young lady who spoke of some different wineries in Napa. I hadn't heard of them.
What were the names?
But
what was the name, Scott? Sorry, I got out of character.
I should have asked her to spell it. I hadn't heard of it.
Camus? Silverado?
No.
Something from... Yes. Pump
see,
Jack.
I'm going to look at the Napa Valley website and see if I can come up with the name of the wineries. Let's see.
Was it Barry McCockiner Vineyards?
All Napa wineries. Of course, there's only 481 Napa wineries.
Why don't you know it? Stupid.
How could I not know?
What was the wine reason? Didn't you write it down?
No, didn't write it down.
What did it start with? Did it start with an E?
No.
Or an A?
No.
How about an R?
You want to buy a vowel?
Did it start with a Z?
I'm looking for a list.
An L? You're going to look through all 480? One?
I don't want to see it.
Will you?
Estefe? I'm not sure she was pronouncing it properly.
Estefe?
But it was like La Estefe.
La Estefe.
What happened now?
La Estefe.
I don't know.
La Jota?
Yeah, this Napa Valley Wineries page sucks. Really is not user-friendly.
Regardless, though, Scott did
480 Napa Vineyards. So it's
you haven't found it, La Estefe.
Beaulieu, Sterling, and the other thing
was it Eric Estrada Winery? Could be.
Paradox. Also, there's so many wineries that have sold and gone out of business that
it's true. When was she there? And when you said young lady,
25 years ago, she said.
Oh, she wasn't that young then. She was young to you, so she was about 80?
You know, these aren't questions you necessarily ask of folks who are participating in your...
No, you say, how old are you? Because how do you know if they're not 20? Did you card anybody?
Oh, Lord.
Ah, Scott, you could have had underage drinkers there.
Yeah,
you could have.
Problem.
You might have. That's... Scott is... He's aiding and abetting underage drinking, folks. You heard that. You should send him hate mail. As well as that art that he wants so much.
Well.
He's trying to figure out of 480, the one winery that the person stumped him on. She's like, have you ever heard of Robert Mondavi? And he went, no.
Robert Mondavi.
That's
Mondavi,
Robert Bialy.
Mondavi. Robert Mondavi.
Did you tell any stories while you were...
The people told stories. It was quite a nice crowd.
How did you do it? How did you present yourself, Scott?
I didn't present myself. I presented the wines. So I talked about wine. I talked about we're going to have a good time. We weren't going to be presumptuous. I might have name dropped people that are presumptuous like you, but I didn't. I might have mentioned that, but I didn't.
You had to say my name so people would know who you were.
No. I said,
you. Oh, Rob the wine guy. Oh, now I know who you are. Yes. Okay.
No, I didn't.
You're the sidekick.
Well,
no, how did you say, hello, I'm Scott? Would you say your name? What did you do? Tell me, present it to me. Like this, the Trefethen Eshkol. Present, do what you did at the show.
No, we just, first of all, it was a
Put
very
your pants
slow
back
start.
On. Why are you taking your pants?
There were so many late customers. It was not funny. So we started probably 15 minutes late.
Uh-huh.
Two interruptions to the start because people were trickling in. It was fine. Talked about we're going to do three wines. We're going to do two whites, two reds. We're going to have fun. We're going to talk about the wines. Could tell them a little bit about the wine before we drink it. And then told them I was going to give them hints. Tell what to expect. Use the reviews, obviously. And it was well received. You know, it's one of those things where you don't want to give too much information but at the same time, educate a little bit. So it's pretty basic. I did talk about, you know, how you quaff wine, how you cool your tongue to let it sit on your tongue. If you want to try that, if you don't want to be fancy, then don't. But the Riesling, the whites weren't chilled enough. And there was the one of the wine people was like, you know, I just wish this was a little more chilled because then I think the oak would come more through on the Chardonnay. So there were some kind of educated people there. At least they wanted to. They were saying educated issues.
The opposite, actually.
Well, it just depends. It just depends. And it's all perception.
It is. It is. How long did your show last? Did you do any magic? Because that would have really been good.
I'm a magic man.
That's true. How long was it? Hour? Hour and a half?
Yeah, it was supposed to be an hour. I think we went less than that because of the late start. I was on the road by a little after 7, but we were going to start at 5:30, and we didn't get started anywhere close to them. But we hung out, and I talked and helped clean up and stuff like that.
What kind of glassware do you use for this show?
Didn't use appropriate glassware. It's plasticware. It's an assisted living facility, sir. They don't have wine glasses.
Boo!
Is what it is.
Well, next time go to Libby. Get those Libby glasses in a box, pass the fuckers out, and then you just take them home, throw them in the dishwasher. Don't be a dick. Do it right.
I'm a dick.
Yes, yeah, slack ass motherfucker.
I'll tell you what. Well, I'll come by here and pick up your Libby glasses.
I don't have Libby glasses.
Well,
so buy them. They're like 10 cents. Don't be a cheap shit.
They are
shit.
More than 10 cents.
Don't be a cheap shit. Get the stemless.
I'm still searching through the Napa.
Oh, you're never going to find it.
I don't. I'm cheap wondering shit. If it doesn't exist. But was adamant. It was a small producer. You couldn't. They didn't sell in stores. You had to buy there.
Oh. I mean, there are some ones that they do make their own wines. And they also sell their grapes too, so they'll do some in-house and they'll sell the rest. Did you try to stump her, give her something back?
There was no stumping. It wasn't like that. It wasn't that kind of presentation.
You should have said, look,
no, just we
shut your fucking mouth.
Talked about, you know, in Chardonnay, the difference between the Chardonnay and the Riesling. Talked a little about the German Rieslings, how they can be sweet all the way to dry, and this one, in my opinion, was more towards the middle, but angling towards a little bit of the sweet side. Talked about a little bit of acidity in the Riesling. Talked about the lemon in this Riesling. The Chardonnay, nobody really. It was almost under oaked in my opinion.
It was KJ.
Yeah, so it wasn't overly oaky. People actually complained about that. They wanted it to be oakier. They actually did. Those
it's
who had drank Chardonnay.
Jackson,
buddy. You're asking for feedback. Like, you're asking for what people say.
Let me get you some lifesavers. I'm going to dip them in some water and let it sit there for like 17 hours.
Easy.
It'll taste pretty good, but that's what it is. I mean, I like drinking it, but I like drinking milkshakes too, you know?
It's fine.
It's not a complicated Chardonnay.
The CS, I don't think it was as well understood. Tried to get people talking about the different fruit that was there and blank stares. But, you know, that's next level, right? This is an assisted living facility with some people who had drank red wine before and some hadn't.
Why didn't you do a CS Chardonnay? Just keep it all Charles Smith.
It's what I came up with.
We should have done that. You could have done a whole Charles Smith. Then next time, you could do a different winery. I'm just saying. But you don't have these kind of grand thoughts. You just
That's not a grand thought. I went like for what I thought would be good. It's what just wasn't necessarily going to do only three, was going to do two and two, but it's what it ended up being. When originally she wasn't expecting that much to show, and it looked a little lean, but people kept filtering in. Dinner was served late, so the people trickled in late.
How many bottles did you have?
She only had two bottles of each, but wow. It was fine. I just poured light. It was all in all, it was fine. the whites needed to be chilled. They weren't really. It was well received. Everybody had a good time. People participated. I was asking questions. People were talking, which was cool. You know, it's like you're giving a presentation at work and you lost the audience. That sucks. Yeah. People was well received. They enjoyed it.
Well, see, what I would do is I would call on them. And if they didn't answer my question correctly, I would tell them how stupid they were. Then I'd tell them to shut their fucking mouth before I punched them. Then, if they didn't, I would. Just the first one. Then the rest of them would get in line. You have to know you're in charge, Scott. You can't just stand up there and be a pansy.
You're
be
right.
Be a man.
Oh, my God.
A Kung Fu girl Riesling, for God's sakes. But they're probably all World War II vets, and they don't like the Japanese, and they saw that. We don't like the Japanese. How dare you? Or they were so befuddled. What's Kung Fu girl Riesling? What the hell is that?
Wrong vet air. You're talking Vietnam vet air.
Okay. There might have been some really, really old people. I guess I am older now, so. But
you're older now?
Yeah, you're really old. But they probably were confused by the name. What's the Kung Fu? Well, you don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. See what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
No, nobody said anything like that.
Because they were mystified as to what Kung Fu girl meant.
It's just a name. They understood that easily.
Mm-hmm. Inappropriate.
Sure, inappropriate.
So, folks, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. We were briefly joined by the Triple B, who was informing us about her plans to invade Bulgaria. Strange. And Romania. And all sorts of stuff. We're not supposed to divulge this, but quite frankly, we're patriots and we're trying to warn the world of her domination plans. It's okay.
I'm staying quiet because I'm fearing Putin's repercussions.
That's true. He'll put some plutonium up your ass. That's what I call it. Yes.
Put some plutonium up your ass.
Yes, that's correct.
Old school would be, I'm going to stick my foot up your ass. No, I'm going to stick some plutonium up your ass.
No. That's not what that means.
But can he even afford plutonium anymore?
I don't
Does he
know.
Even it's have not, plutonium?
It's not plutonium. I will tell you off the air what it is that I will put up there.
He has to go for, like, budget.
It's not budget.
Radiation... radioactive isotopes purchased in the secondary market in Madagascar.
Madagascar?
Yes.
What do you have against Madagascar?
It's a great place to get secondary market.
No, it's not. It's a fine island. It's a big island.
It's a fine island to leave me, Madagascar.
Well, the Trefethen Family Vineyards, Eshkol, Napa Valley red wine, predominantly Merlot, then Cabernet. Then Malbec, then Petit Verdot, and a smattering of Cab Franc. Scott, what is your numerical score for this wine?
I really enjoyed this. I think it hit the mark. I think it's a tip of the cap to Trefethen. Really well done. I think, you know, when you say, I'm going to do a Bordeaux blend, predominantly Merlot, this hits the mark. It was... easy, pleasurable. Yeah, it's a niche wine, but I think in its own way, it's really drinkable. It's probably not for everybody for the reasons we mentioned, but it's still that it's not in that category of, okay, it's not for everybody because it's not good. That's false. It is good. I'm at a 90. I was range 89 to 91, I guess. But I'm at a 90, and I'd buy this again. I will buy this. It's not something you're going to go every night as your go-to. But, you know, as you go through your cellar, you've got your different choices. There's going to be a time it pops out and you go, yeah, I want that tonight. I want Eshkol. And I'll tell you, my wife would love this. Princess would love this. I think our girlfriend Leanne would love this too.
Leanne?
I think she would love this.
What about Jenna?
I don't think I don't think Ben's Jenna drinks.
No, what about Jenna Toll?
Keep them in your pants, sir.
And for me, I'm going to provide this. First of all, let me start off with the fact Scott likes this more than I do. I don't think that I'm going to give it 88 of my points. That's being generous.
No, I would, now easy.
86 to 88.
Oh,
bullshit. No, I 87 to 89. But it's well done. I would drink it again. It's not badly priced. It really isn't, and it provides an interesting thing to drink at under $25. It emulates some French style, and it has a lot of the terroir and kind of the signature things Trefethen likes to do. And those are all really nice, positive things about this wine. I have nothing but nice things to say about it. It isn't quite that expansive. It lacks a little bit of fruit. Some people might say it lacks a little bounce, but I don't really think of it in that term. I look at it as a wine that has a ceiling based upon its style. And in order to ascend higher in the scoring, it would have to be something it doesn't want to be. And that's fine. It's not going to be a big fruit bomb. It's not going to have vanilla. It's not going to have chocolate on the mid palate. It's not going to have all those things. It's not going to be bigger. It's not. And it would need to be bigger, but it's not going to be because that's not the way this wine's made, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
And that's fine. This wine is what it is. And some wines are perfectly acceptable the way they are. They don't need to be anything else. And I don't really think of scores when I come to a wine like this. I think of the wine as being itself. Now, it's going to be completely different in 2021 because they're going to have a different blend.
Yep.
That's the only problem.
And I think that's another thing that's interesting about this wine. It, from year to year, will be different.
It will be a little bit.
Will Trefethen be true to this Bordeaux style? Will they do something
unique
and pleasurable every time?
They've never varied from the Bordeaux grape base. So they never put anything else in there. But then again, I don't think really they do. They don't do a Zin. They don't do a Petite Syrah. They don't do a Syrah. They do predominantly Bordeaux red wines and whites, obviously. So I think this is a wine that I would say to everybody out there, try every year that you see it. Try it. Experience it and enjoy it every single year. Make it a point to try this wine. Some years you're going to like it. Some years you're not. The years you really jive with it, buy it, a bunch of it. But every year, I think you should try it. And I think everyone should try this wine, this vintage, to see if it's something that jives with you or if it doesn't. Because if it does, buy it. Because it's a wonderful value. And it's a nice wine. It will teach you about terroir.
Merlot? Try this wine. It's going to be different than just a straightforward Merlot.
Don't think of it about the varietals. That's not the point. It's only 53% anyway. Don't think of it, oh, I like Merlot, so I'm going to drink this wine. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that it teaches you about terroir. It teaches you about a winery that is making things a certain style. It follows a lot of different paths. It doesn't matter if it was made with bananas, okay? It's not the point what the grapes are.
Then the minions would like it.
And quite frankly, Trefethen would say, it doesn't matter what the grapes are. That's not the point. The point is the style, the vineyard, the soil, the surroundings. That's what's important in this wine, and that's what this wine expresses and showcases very well. It's not about Merlot, Scott. It isn't, because last year it was Cabernet.
Okay.
This isn't what you would say you should go to if you like Merlot, because it isn't about the Merlot. It isn't about the varietal. Hell, it's only 53% anyway. It's about the wine making, and the winemaking is good.
But if you do like Merlot, try this wine.
It doesn't really taste like Merlot.
Yeah.
It has elements, but but that's not really what people will see.
That's okay.
Merlot drinkers, if you're California Merlot drinkers, don't try this because you won't like it.
Rob's a dick.
No, because I know what they will like and what they won't. And you could be a California Merlot drinker and drink good wines. Duckhorn Merlot's a good wine. It don't fucking taste like this.
No.
Schaefer Merlot is an exceptional wine. It don't fucking taste like this. Paloma Merlot is a world-class wine. Lord. It don't fucking taste like this. This wine is unique in and of itself. Taste this wine if you want to learn about terroir, if you want to learn about their winemaking. That's it. And those are two things that are important. Those are important things.
Yeah. Sure.
They teach you how to appreciate other wines, forgetting what the varietals are.
And
that, but that's
other
the point.
Things from wine.
Even if you don't like the expression of the fruit, you're still experiencing a wonderful expression of terroir. And that's what terroir is. That's what dried leaves are. That's what woodsiness is. These things are expressed lovely in this wine. And that's what the point
is. Pencil lead thing.
Yeah. Certain elements are very easy to pull out, and it's a good value. So, tip of the cap to Trefethen in making this wine. I think they've done a good job and made something that is completely unique, and it's worth your time. I recommend it. So, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Licensed Taxi Driver.
Changing my score to 91.
Don't give a shit. Give it.
If you like Merlot, try this wine.
Yeah, whatever. Give it a 99. I don't give it. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. But for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, the butthurt Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Hey, I'm not butthurt.
We are going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Vault.
It is flaring up, though.
Yeah, I know. Here on the Wine Vault. Good night, folks.